gereken potansiyel temelde nasıl bakar? Saksır sümele tanrıyına tezgahat şubur ve yamaha. Sri Chaitanya Mahavishtam Stapitam Jainabutale Sayanda Sadamayana Vanyasa Kaupatibhasya Kipasana Bhayavasa Titram Bhavari Lovasabhaya We're hearing about the Lord's Mohini Murti incarnation that bewilders Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva had heard about the incarnation of the Lord during the pastime of churning the ocean of milk. And that incarnation, Krishna came as Mohini Murti, the most bewildering form of the Lord for one who has an attachment to material enjoyment. And what is the ultimate material enjoyment? Material enjoyment means self-centered enjoyment, which is actually quite unnatural for the soul. The soul's natural enjoyment is the offering of pleasure to Krishna, to God. This is the natural position of the soul and the natural way that each living entity feels pleasure. Like when we wish to give nourishment to the parts of the body, the individual parts of the body don't try to enjoy on their own. The fingers don't assimilate the food by themselves, nor does the forehead or the palms of the hand. No. The assimilation of food or the providing of nourishment through the food for the fingers comes through the fingers picking up the food and placing it within the mouth. The fingers may object, thinking, well, how will I get nourishment if I don't take anything for myself? If I give everything to the mouth, how will I receive what I need? But that is the system. So similarly, when we serve God, when we serve Krishna, then automatically the nourishment of our existence comes to us. And if we try to selfishly, self-centeredly, try to assimilate pleasure and enjoyment on our own, all we become is frustrated and weak and tired. Just like if the hand had tried to assimilate the food by itself, insisting that it wasn't going to place the food in the mouth. How weak would the hand become? It would cause its own death, its own withering. So similarly, each living entity who tries to find pleasure selfishly feels an inner frustration. And the ultimate pleasure, selfish pleasure, that fixes one in material consciousness, in selfish consciousness, is sex life. So this section that we will read, that is one of the major points in this, and how deep this sex attraction is. It's at the very root of our illusion, our mistaking ourselves for the center. It is the very root, practically speaking. Practically, it is the first manifestation, the most powerful manifestation of our having turned our back on God to make ourselves the center. Because when one engages in sex life, although this is not contemporary philosophy, rather than becoming happy, one actually becomes more and more frustrated. Materialistic psychologists may say that the cause of frustration is the lack of sexual indulgence, but in the Vedic culture, it's exactly the opposite. If one wants to make progress in spiritual life, One can't live with the sexual indulgence that an animal lives. Animal is unrestricted. And if one is always thinking about sexual indulgence, he cannot make progress spiritually, because it fixes him, it centers him in selfish consciousness, in bodily consciousness, not spiritual consciousness. Spiritual consciousness is a matter of giving, is a matter of loving, giving with devotion to God, to the center, to the actual center, to Krishna. A material consciousness is self-centered, although it may come in the guise, in the disguise of love. It is actually not love, it is lust, it is selfish. So Lord Shiva, as we read and heard yesterday, had offered prayers to the Lord, to Lord Vishnu, and he asked him, he explained that you are the all-powerful one. Your power is incredible. It is inconceivable, actually. You create the universe. You maintain the universe. You destroy the universe. And yet you are a person, and there is nothing separate from you. Everything is but your energy. Yet nothing is exactly you either. You are spread everywhere through your energy, but yet you exist separately as the Supreme Person, as God. This is called Achintya Bhed Abhed, simultaneously and inconceivably one and different from everything. This is the actual understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Supreme Lord. So Lord Shiva asked to see this Mohini Murti incarnation of the Lord. So this is Krishna, this is the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Cause of all causes, the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. He takes the form of a woman, but the most beautiful, attractive woman. Because even if one is desiring to spiritually advance, in other words, even if one is desiring to stop his selfishly placing himself in the center and wishing to place God in the center, this tendency or this root of material existence, of selfish consciousness, material consciousness, of sex life, is very difficult to uproot. So one may renounce so many things, but in the presence of a member of the opposite sex, everything is forgotten. One may be fully determined in spiritual life, but in the presence of an attractive member of the opposite sex, everything is forgotten. One can so easily, fully, completely become bewildered. Bewildered means the true perspective is lost. And all one thinks of is temporary gratification, temporary pleasure. Never mind the fact that I'm going to die. Never mind the fact that misery is coming to me. Never mind anything. Let me just enjoy myself now. Why? Because I want to. I have that urge. So this is a great destroyer of spiritual life, and it has been the downfall of so many good and powerful, sincere spiritual personalities who are wishing to come up in their spiritual life, get closer to God, but they have fallen victimization to members of the opposite sex. So to warn us how we have to be careful, Lord Shiva is going to become bewildered by the most beautiful woman who is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So let's hear about this incredible pastime. So Lord Shiva had asked Krishna to take, or Lord Vishnu to take this form. When Lord Vishnu was thus requested by Lord Shiva, who carries a trident in his hand, and Lord Shiva is not an ordinary person, as we are ordinary persons, but he is practically the most powerful person in, within the material creation by Shambham, Itashambhu. So when Lord Vishnu heard this request from Lord Shiva, he smiled with gravity and spoke to Lord Shiva as follows. The Supreme Personality of God had said, he explained the circumstances, when the demons took away the jug of nectar from the previous pastime, I assumed the form of a beautiful woman to bewilder them by directly cheating them and thus to act in the interest of the demigods. O best of the demigods, I shall now show you my form that is very much appreciated by those who are lusty. Since you want to see that form, I shall reveal it to you, shall reveal it in your presence. And as soon as he said this, the Lord disappeared immediately. Immediately after saying, I shall reveal this to you, this incredibly, powerfully, bewildering, beautiful form that will elicit within someone, a male, the desire to enjoy selfishly, with myself as the center. So he said he would exhibit that, and then the Lord disappeared, and Lord Shiva remained there with Uma, his wife, looking for him, looking for the Lord, all around with moving eyes. So we'll read some of the purports, short purports, to these verses, and then we'll go on to the appearance of the Lord in the form of Mohini Murti. So when Krishna said, or Vishnu explained, that he would show this to Lord Shiva, Prabhupada explains his purport to text 14. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is known as Yogeshwara. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. Mystic yogis want to acquire some power by practicing the yoga system. But Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is known as the Supreme Lord of all mystic power. Lord Shiva wanted to see the Mohini Murti, which was captivating the entire world, so powerful that the whole world was under its control. Because everyone, this world moves on the attraction between male and female, and female and male. So this form was so incredible that it had the potency to capture the entire world. And Lord Vishnu was gravely thinking of how to captivate Lord Shiva also. Therefore, the words Bhava Gambiram is used here. The illusory material energy is represented by Durga Devi, who is the wife of Garish, or Lord Shiva. Durga Devi could not captivate Lord Shiva's mind. But now that Lord Shiva wanted to see Lord Vishnu's feminine form, Lord Vishnu, by his mystic power, would assume a form that would captivate even Lord Shiva. Therefore, Lord Vishnu was grave and at the same time was smiling. Purport of 15. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead assumed the form of a beautiful woman, Mohini Murti, during the churning of the milk ocean, the demons were certainly captivated. But the demigods present were not. In other words, those who maintain a demoniac mentality are bewildered by the beauty of a woman. But those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, or even those on the platform of goodness, are not bewildered. Why? Why is this type of attraction considered demoniac? Because it is opposed to the service of the Lord. It is self-centered, as we said. It is materialistic. And it is doomed to bring misery. So the difference between transcendental attraction and attachment and demoniac attachment and attraction and mode of goodness attachment and attraction is that demoniac attraction is attraction for my welfare, with me as the center. The thoughts are self-centered, as we've been explaining. And if one is pure in the mode of goodness, sattvam sanjayate jnanam, that he has knowledge. And what is that knowledge? That he's not his body. So he's not attracted to the physical. So he has detachment from matter. But one who is transcendentally situated as a devotee, actually, who is purely relishing his relationship with Krishna, who is alive in love for Krishna, that relationship with Krishna, which is our natural relationship, is real. It is not theoretical. It is real for him. He's living in that relationship. He cannot be captivated by any material form in the world, because his concept of pleasure, his concept of attraction, is he's naturally attracted to that which pleases God. But this stage is very, very rare. And in this world, today's culture, the mode of goodness is even rare. And what isn't rare is passion and ignorance, which is symptomatized by lust, anger, greed, illusion, bewilderment. Especially lust, anger, and greed. This is what's dominant in today's culture. So, ordinary persons who possess these things, practically speaking, with their self-centered consciousness, have demonic consciousness, because demonic means that it is against Krishna, God being the center. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead knew that because Lord Shiva is not an ordinary person, he cannot be bewildered even by the most beautiful woman. Cupid himself tried to invoke Lord Shiva's lusty desires in the presence of poverty. But Lord Shiva was never agitated. Rather, the blazing fire from Lord Shiva's eyes turned Cupid to ashes. Therefore, Lord Vishnu had to think twice about what kind of beautiful form would bewilder even Lord Shiva? Consequently, he was smiling gravely, as stated in the previous verse. A beautiful woman generally cannot induce Lord Shiva to be lusty, but Lord Vishnu was considering whether there was any form of a woman who could enchant him. And then in 16, the Lord had told Lord Shiva in the 16th verse, "I will reveal this form to you, which will attract any person of, even if he has a tinge of the self-centered mentality." Prabhupada's purport. Lord Shiva's desire to see Lord Vishnu reveal the most attractive and beautiful form of a woman was certainly a joking affair. Lord Shiva knew that he could not be agitated by any so-called beautiful woman. The daityas, or the demons, in the churning of the ocean of milk may have been bewildered, he thought. But since even the demigods could not be agitated, what to speak of me, who am the best of all the demigods? However, because Lord Shiva wanted to see Lord Vishnu's form as a woman, Lord Vishnu decided to impersonate a woman and show him that form which would immediately put him in an ocean of lusty desires. In effect, therefore, Lord Vishnu told Lord Shiva, "I will show you my form as a woman. And if you become agitated by lusty desires, do not blame me. The attractive features of a woman are appreciated by those who are affected by lusty desires. But those who are above such desires, who are on the platform of Krishna consciousness, who have developed their love for Krishna, Krishna bhakti rasito bhavato mati, who have actually developed the rasa, are tasting the rasa, the sweetness, sweet mellow of their relationship with Krishna. They are like a billionaires who cannot be attracted by the thought of earning $100. A billionaire doesn't concern him. How am I going to earn $100? How am I going to earn $100? Why? Because some sum like that, an amount like that, is so insignificant for him. He has so much more. So similarly, one who is actually alive, awake in his relationship with Krishna, his taste is so much more what he's getting, that he will not dissipate that for lesser, gross pleasures. So Lord Shiva was thinking, maybe the demons could be bewildered, but how can I be bewildered? I'm above these kind of things. But this pastime will show many things. And one of them is Be careful. Never, never think that oneself is above falling victim to this type of desire, materialistic desire. Because the tendency to be self-centered is fully within everyone in the material world. That is why we're in the material world. Just like the tendency towards criminal action is within all the criminals and the prisoners in the prison house. So be careful. This is one lesson. Especially for those who are serious about spiritual life. One should be careful. Discretion is the better part of valor. One should take chances in spiritual life to preach, but one should not be foolish. Careful. This is one point that we'll see. Even Lord Shiva was above all getting captivated. Still, in a particular circumstance, became captivated. And a second point comes out that although Lord Shiva is so great, so powerful, still Krishna Stuvayan Sayam. That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom no one is more powerful than. And his illusion, his potency, his ability is so great that he can bewilder everyone, anyone, even Lord Shiva. He himself can never become bewildered because he is the supreme powerful. The supreme power. So, you wanted to see this, Lord Vishnu told Lord Shiva. Okay, and if it doesn't work the way that you're hoping and thinking, don't blame me, because he's going to use his potency, some of his potency. So as Prabhupada explains, this was to be a test of whether Lord Shiva could become agitated or whether Lord Krishna had the potency to agitate the mind of Lord Shiva. Text 17. Lord Vishnu disappeared. And then, and remember, Lord Shiva is sitting right next to his wife, Parvati, Uma. Thereafter, in a nice forest nearby, full of trees with reddish pink leaves and a varieties of flowers. So the scene is being set where Krishna will appear in this beautiful Mohini Murti form. There, in that beautiful natural setting, Lord Shiva saw a beautiful woman playing with a ball. Her hips were covered with a shining sari and ornamented with a belt. Because the ball was falling down and bouncing up, as she played with it, her breasts trembled, and because of the weight of these breasts and her heavy flower garlands, her waist appeared to be all but breaking at every step. As her two soft feet, which were reddish like coral, moved here and there. So Krishna. But she is going to have all the bewildering beauties of a woman that will attract everyone's mind, even Lord Shiva, to such a degree. The woman's face was decorated by broad, beautiful, restless eyes, which moved as the ball bounced here and there from her hand. The two brilliant earrings on her ears decorated her shining cheeks like bluish reflections, and her hair scattered on her face made her even more beautiful to see. As she played with the ball, the sari covering her body became loose and her hair scattered, looking a little bit disheveled. She tried to bind her hair with her beautiful left hand, and at the same time she played with the ball by striking with her right hand. So with one hand she was playing with the ball, and then in a haphazard way she was trying to straighten her hair, which increased the attractiveness of her features. This was so attractive that the Supreme Lord, by his internal potency, in this way, captivated everyone. Prabhupada's purport to text 21. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Daivyesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Dharatyaya. The external potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely strong. maya, illusion, that energy that separates us in our consciousness from God is extremely strong. And this is practically the prime example of that which separates us from God, the desire to enjoy independently in this way. Indeed, everyone is fully captivated by her activities, meaning maya, or illusion. Lord Shambhu Shiva was not to be captivated by the external potency, but because Lord Vishnu wanted to captivate him also, he exhibited his internal potency to act the way that his external potency acts to captivate ordinary living entities. Lord Vishnu can captivate anyone, even such a strong personality as Lord Shambhu. Text 22. While Lord Shiva observed the beautiful woman playing with the ball, she sometimes glanced at him and slightly smiled in bashfulness. So that's all it takes. The looking, the woman, or looking at the male from the corner of the eye. Oh, I think she likes me. And then the heart immediately begins to melt. That's all it takes. One little glance. Therefore, the eyes are compared, the eyebrows are compared to a bow. Because the bow is shaped like eyebrows. And the glance is compared to an arrow. And once one is shot with the arrow of that glance, one is wounded very deeply. As he looked at the beautiful woman and she watched him, he forgot himself in Uma. He immediately became bewildered, lost perspective of who he was sitting next to, his wife, as well as his associates were nearby. Prabhupada's purport. It's a heavy chapter. The material bondage of this world is that a beautiful woman can captivate a handsome man, and that a handsome man can captivate a beautiful woman. Such are the affairs that began when Lord Shiva observed the beautiful girl playing with the ball. In such activities, the influence of Cupid is very prominent. As both parties move their eyebrows and glance at one another, their lusty desires increase more and more. Such reciprocation of lusty desires took place between Lord Shiva and the beautiful woman. Even though Uma and Lord Shiva's wife and Lord Shiva's associates were by Lord Shiva's side. This is the nature of intense bewilderment, illusion. Such is the attraction between man and woman in the material world. Lord Shiva was supposed to be above all this attraction, but he was victimized by the captivating power of Lord Vishnu. Rishabhdev thus explains the nature of lusty attraction. Pumsa striya matuni bhava metan tayor mito hridaya grantamahu ato griha ketra svitapta vitar janasya mohoham mohoyam aham mameti. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunti prakriti janiha karanam guna sangasya. Bhunti means enjoyment. Trying to enjoy, especially in this way, fixes one in material consciousness. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. Bhagavatam 5.58. When a man and woman exchange feelings of lust, both of them are victimized, and thus they are bound to this material world in various ways. When the ball leaped from her hand and fell at a distance, remember, Krishna is all powerful, so he's making this occur exactly in the way that it's occurring, just to attract the consciousness and of Lord Shiva and bewilder him. So the ball fell at a distance. The woman began to follow it. But as Lord Shiva observed these activities, a breeze suddenly blew away the fine dress and belt that covered her. Thus Lord Shiva saw the woman, every part of whose body was beautifully formed, and the beautiful woman also looked at him. Therefore, thinking that she was attracted to him, that's what happens when she looks, he thinks, oh, she likes me, she's attracted. Lord Shiva became very much attracted to her. Lord Shiva, his good sense taken away by the woman because of lusty desires to enjoy with her, became so mad for her that even in the presence of Bhavani, his wife, he did not hesitate to approach her. The beautiful woman was already naked, and when she saw Lord Shiva coming towards her, she became extremely bashful. This is all Leela. Krishna is just showing Lord Shiva that no one should think themselves invulnerable when it comes to sex. Oh, this can't touch me, I'm strong. No! Again, discretion is the better part of valor. If one is serious about spiritual life, one should be extremely careful and not put himself into a situation where there may be difficulty, because if there may be difficulty, there's a good chance that there will be difficulty, because this is just this is the nature of the material world. She became extremely bashful. She kept smiling. She hid herself amongst the trees and did not stand in one place. His senses being agitated, Lord Shiva, victimized by lusty desires, began to follow her, just as a lusty elephant follows a she-elephant. After following her with great speed, Lord Shiva caught her by the braid of her hair and dragged her near him. Even he had just asked Lord Vishnu to take this form. So on one level, you can say that he should have known. He asked to see a beautiful form of a woman, and basically Lord Vishnu said, if you become lusty, don't blame me. You want to see this, okay. But immediately the power of illusion is so great, within just a few moments, he immediately forgot that knowledge and was just caught up within the desire. So he grabbed her by the braid of the hair. This is Lord Vishnu here. And he dragged her near him. Although she was unwilling, he embraced her with his arms. Being embraced by Lord Shiva like a female elephant embraced by a male, the woman whose hair was scattered swirled like a snake. O king, this woman who had large high hips was a woman of Yogamaya, presented by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She released herself somehow or another from the fond embrace of Lord Shiva's arms and ran away. As if harassed by an enemy in the form of lusty desire. It's like a whip. Lust is like a whip. It beats one, forcing one to think that he's enjoying acting like a fool. He's thinking, he's being beaten and forced to think and act and see in a particular way. Forced, but not even aware of being forced, just being carried away by the push of the desire. So she escaped from him and ran. As if harassed by an enemy in the form of lusty desires, Lord Shiva followed the path of Lord Vishnu, who acts very wonderfully and who had taken the form of Mohini. Prabhupada's purport. Lord Shiva cannot be victimized by Maya, not the material energy. Therefore it is to be understood that Lord Shiva was being thus harassed by Lord Vishnu's internal potency. Lord Vishnu can perform many wonderful activities through his various potencies. Parasya Shaktiya Vivadaiva Shriyate Swabhavika Gyanabala Kriya Cha. The Supreme Lord has various potencies by which he can act very efficiently. To do anything expertly, he doesn't even need to contemplate. Since Lord Shiva was being harassed by the woman, it's to be understood that this was being done not by a woman, but by Lord Vishnu himself. 32. Just as a maddened bull elephant follows a female elephant who is able to conceive pregnancy, Lord Shiva followed the beautiful woman and discharged semen, even though his discharge of semen never goes in vain. O King, wheresoever on the surface of the globe fell the semen of the great personality Lord Shiva, mines of gold and silver later appeared. Because his semen never goes in vain. So this is to show that he is not ordinary. Nothing about this is ordinary. But the warning is ordinary, although the pastime, the warning is for ordinary people, for us. There is more to learn, but it is words of caution for all of us, everyone. Following Mohini, Lord Shiva went everywhere, near the shores of the rivers and lakes, near the mountains, near the forest, near the gardens, and wherever there lived great sages. Now why did Lord Shiva go where there were great sages to see him running after Mohini Murti? Because Mohini Murti was leading him there. Lord Shiva was just following her. So the Lord, in the form of a woman, went everywhere there were sages so that they could see. Be careful. Even Lord Shiva can be bewildered. So therefore you all should be very, very careful, even though you're sages. Because Lord Shiva is the worshipable deity of so many sages. Yet, he was being harassed and captivated by the desire to enjoy. Therefore the sages had to acknowledge. Because when someone lesser is in trouble, think proudly, this could never happen to me. But when someone greater than us, who we worship, who is worshipable by us, is being harassed and captivated, then we have to think that I have to be very careful. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Mohini Murti dragged Lord Shiva to so many places, especially to where the great sages lived, to instruct the sages that their Lord Shiva had become mad for a beautiful woman. Thus, although they were all great sages and saintly persons, they should not think themselves free, but should remain extremely cautious about beautiful women. No one should think himself liberated in the presence of a beautiful woman. The Shastras enjoin, Matra svasra dhitrava nava viktasano bhave palavan indriya gramo vidvam sam apikarshati. One should not stay in a solitary place with a woman, even if she be his mother, sister, or daughter. For the senses are so uncontrollably powerful that in the presence of a woman, one may become agitated, even if he is very learned and advanced. Text 35. O Maharaj Prickett, of course, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining this to Maharaj Prickett, O best of kings. When Lord Shiva had fully discharged semen, he could see how he himself had been victimized by the illusion created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he restrained himself from any further maya. Thus Lord Shiva could understand his position and that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has unlimited potencies. Having reached this understanding of the difference between himself and the Lord, he was not at all surprised by the wonderful way Lord Vishnu had acted upon him. Seeing Lord Shiva unagitated and unashamed, Lord Vishnu, Madhusudan, was very pleased. Thus, he resumed his original form and spoke as follows. I'll read some of those purports. One is agitated by lusty desires upon seeing a woman, and those desires increase more and more When semen is discharged in the act of sex, the lusty desires diminish. The same principle acted upon Lord Shiva. He was allured by the beautiful woman Mohini Murti, but when his semen had been fully discharged, he came to his senses and realized how he had been victimized as soon as he saw the woman in the forest. If one is trained to protect his semen by observing celibacy, naturally he is not attracted by the beauty of a woman. If one can remain a brahmachari, he saves himself so much trouble in material existence. Material existence means enjoying the pleasure of sexual intercourse. Yan matunadi guyamedi sukam. If one is educated about sex life and trained to protect his semen, he is saved from the danger of material existence. Prabhupada's purport to 36. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as all-powerful because no one can excel Him in any activity. In Bhagavad Gita 7:7, the Lord says, Mata parataram na anyat kinchirasti dinandaya. O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. No one can equal the Lord or be greater than Him, for He is the master of everyone. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekala Ishwa Krishna Arsava Britya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the only master of everyone, including even Lord Shiva. What to speak of others? Lord Shiva was already aware of the supreme power of Lord Vishnu, but when he was actually put into bewilderment, he felt proud to have such an exalted master. So he had been captivated, subdued, but it wasn't by an ordinary person. He was subdued by the Supreme Lord, and he understood, he glimpsed at the greatness of the Lord and was proud to have such an exalted person who could even bewilder him as his master. Text 37 purport. Although Lord Shiva was aghast at the potency of Lord Vishnu, he did not feel ashamed. He was amazed at it. How sitting with poverty, completely captivated. Rather, he is proud to be defeated by Lord Vishnu. Nothing is hidden from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for He is in everyone's heart. Indeed, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya chamrade sanavisto mata smitam gyanam aponam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and for me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Whatever happened had taken place under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore there was no cause to be sorry or ashamed. Although Lord Shiva is never defeated by anyone, when defeated by Lord Vishnu, he felt proud that he had such an exalted and powerful master. Text 38. So the Supreme Lord, Lord Vishnu, at this point began to speak to Lord Shiva. O best of the demigods, although you have been amply harassed because of my potency in assuming the form of a woman, you are established in your position. Therefore, may all good fortune be upon you. Prophet's purport. Since Lord Shiva is the best of the demigods, he is the best of all devotees, Vaishnavanam Yatashambhu. His exemplary character was therefore praised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gave his benediction by saying, may all good fortune be upon you. When a devotee becomes a little proud, the Supreme Lord sometimes exhibits His supreme power to dissipate the devotee's misunderstanding. After being amply harassed by Lord Vishnu's potency, Lord Shiva resumed his normal, unagitated condition. This is the position of a devotee. A devotee should not be agitated under any circumstances, even in the worst reverses. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 6:22, Yasmin stito na dukkena guna napi vichalyate. Because of his full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee is never agitated, even in the greatest trials. This pridelessness is possible only for first-class devotees, of whom Lord Shiva, of whom Lord Shambhu is one. Because a devotee doesn't feel himself very great or wonderful or powerful, he is able to be very humble in his dealings and unagitated, undisturbed by anything that may happen, whether it seems to be favorable or seems to be unfavorable, he accepts everything as the premium of the Lord. Lord Vishnu continued, my dear Lord Shama, because previously Lord Shiva, at the beginning of this chapter, Lord Shiva had prayed to Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, to express his realization of the Lord's power, how great God is. But now his estimation of how great God is has just increased, because he understood now that the Lord's potency is so great that it can completely control him. So now Lord Vishnu is responding to his words, his prayers, but he responded by showing Lord Shiva something. And then in text 39 and 40, my dear Lord Shambhu, who within this material world but you can surpass my illusory energy? People are generally attached to sense enjoyment and conquered by its influence. Indeed, the influence of material nature is very difficult for them to surmount. The material external energy Maya, who cooperates with me in creation and who is manifested in the three modes of nature, will not be able to bewilder you any longer. When Lord Shiva was present, his wife Durga was also there. Durga works in cooperation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in creating the cosmic manifestation. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.10, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharan. The material energy, Prakriti, works under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and unmoving beings. Prakriti is Durga. Srishti Stiti Pralaya Satdana Shaktareka Chayivayasya Bhuvanani Bhavati Durga. The entire cosmos is created by Durga in cooperation with Lord Vishnu in the form of Kala, time. Sa Ikshita Lokanu Srija Sa Imma Lokanasrajata. This is the version of the Vedas. Maya happens to be the wife of Lord Shiva, and thus Lord Shiva is in association with Maya. But Lord Vishnu here assures Lord Shiva that this Maya will no longer be captive. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, having thus been praised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who bears the mark of Srivats on his chest, Lord Shiva circumambulated him. Then after taking permission from him, Lord Shiva returned to his abode, Kailash, along with his associates. O descendant of Bharata Maharaj, Lord Shiva in jubilation then addressed his wife Bhavani, who was accepted by all authorities as the potency of Lord Vishnu. Lord Shiva said, O goddess, you have now seen the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the unborn master of everyone. Although I am one of the principal expansions of his lordship, even I was illusioned by his energy. What then is to be said of others who are fully dependent on Maya? When I finished performing mystic yoga for 1,000 years, you asked me upon whom I was meditating. Now here is that supreme person to whom time has no entrance and who the Vedas cannot understand. So this is establishing who actually is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if Lord Vishnu is so powerful that his energy is supreme over everyone in this world, either through the material energy, Durga, for the conditioned souls, or even the topmost person, Lord Shiva, yet it is his energy. It is his energy, and he cannot fall under the power of his energy. Therefore, in Canto 10, when we see Krishna acting in ways that we may think is similar to how Lord Shiva acted, bewildered, or the way that those acted in the material world, bewildered by members of the opposite sex, we should clearly understand that the energetic, the source of the energy, can never be overcome by the energy. Because by definition, the energetic, the source, possesses more energy, more potency than the energy that is produced from him, or by him, rather. So the energetic is always in control of the energy. It is always more and more powerful than the energy. So when Lord Krishna in Vrindavan is dancing with the gopis, this has nothing to do with the type of illusion of bewilderment that either Lord Shiva or ordinary living entities experience. This is something completely different. It is not lust. It is complete love on a spiritual level. So all these pastimes are preparing us to enter in Vrindavan and view the incredible, most incredible leelas of Krishna there. View them by hearing about them from Sukadeva Goswami as he explains them to Maharaj Prakriti. They're preparing us to cleanse our heart, to have the proper conceptions, the proper vision, so we can actually relish these wonderful pastimes. Text 45, 46, and 47 are the final verses. There's one last purport of 47. We'll read those and read that final purport. Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, the person who bore the great mountain on his back for the churning of the ocean of milk is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Sugana Dhanva. I have now described to you his prowess, his power, the carrier of the Shangabo, that's Krishna. The endeavor of one who constantly hears or describes this narration of the churning of the ocean of milk will never be fruitless." This is called Shruti Phala, the fruit of hearing this pastime, of which began with the fighting of the demigods and the demons, and the advice of Lord Krishna to make a truce, and then the churning of the ocean of milk to get the, and then the bewilderment of the demons by Mohini Murti, the giving of the nectar to the demigods, and now the bewildering even of Lord Shiva by Mohini Murti. This is all one pastime, and whoever constantly hears or describes this narration of the churning of the ocean of milk will never be fruitless. Indeed, the endeavors of him will always come to fruition. He will always get their result. Indeed, chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only means to annihilate all sufferings in this material world. Assuming the form of a young woman and thus bewildering the demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead distributed to his devotees, the demigods, the nectar produced from the churning of the ocean of milk. Unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, after all, sided with the devotees, the demigods, who always fulfills the desires of his devotees, to him I offer my respectful obeisances. The instruction of this narration concerning the churning of the milk ocean is clearly manifested by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he is equal to everyone, because of natural affection, he favors his devotees. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samoham Savabhuteshu Name Veshos Dina Priya Yeva Janti Tumam Bhakya Maya Teteshu Japya. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. This partiality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is natural. A person cares for his children not because of partiality, but in reciprocation of love. The children depend on the father's affection, and the father affectionately maintains the children. Similarly, because devotees do not know anything but the lotus feet of the Lord is always prepared to give protection to his devotees and fulfill their desires. He therefore says, Kamteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 12th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Mohini Murti Incarnation of the Lord of Lords. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Krishna ki jai. Mohini Murti ki jai. Nitai Gaura Vimalam. So many many lessons from these pastimes. And that final lesson, that how Krishna is partial to the devotees, he puts his full potency to serve his devotees, is really, really exhibited in the temple. Thank you, Master. Tomorrow, Krishna willing, we'll be two chapters, and then short chapters, not much in the way of purports, but let's see if Krishna wills.